We will move down to discussion and information items, and we have a proposal for a vacation rental dwelling business licensing program. Mr. Belmont is going to present this. I'm going to offer some brief introductory remarks, a little bit of historical context. In the mid-1990s, residents of Rhodes End, which was then an unincorporated area north of Lincoln City, appealed to the Board of County Commissioners to deal with quality of life impacts from VRDs. Essentially, they petitioned for them to be legislated out of existence, which is something that is not legally possible. The Board of Commissioners at that time, three different commissioners, none of us were serving at that time, indicated then a willingness to approve a licensing program, but since the community leadership did not support that, the matter was dropped and really didn't resurface until about 2 years ago when our office began receiving a number of complaints, primarily concentrated in the Lincoln Beach, Glenedon Beach area. Again, very similar issues to the ones that the folks in Rhodes End talked about, primarily excessive noise, parking issues, and trash. So our office and county council have taken the lead in drafting the proposal. We also consulted with the sheriff, the treasurer, the tax collector, and with our planning office, although I should emphasize this is not a land use action, it is a licensing program. So I think we have two basic goals with this proposal, hopefully to give us a mechanism to effectively address the quality of life issues, as well as to increase compliance with our ordinance requiring collection of a transient room tax. At this point, I'd like to hand off now to Mr. Belmont to walk us through the proposal in detail.
Thank you, commissioners. We looked at a variety of different options in looking at what's being done across the state to deal with the question of vacation rental dwellings or short-term rentals. And came up with this particular proposal. I'm not going to say this is anything that's, you know, made out of whole cloth and anything new. We actually looked and utilized a lot of what was done very successfully in Tillamook County, and that's the model on which we based our particular program. As indicated by Chair Hall, this is a business licensing program. That's the approach we would take with this. And I want to just note a couple things up front for folks in terms of both the process and how this is done. We've drafted an ordinance, and the ordinance will be, we're going to put that out on the county website and then make it available for folks, and we want you to look at it very long and hard, because this is really our first initial response for the public, the community out here, to take a look at this and tell us if you like what we're doing with this, the approach we're taking. Are there any suggestions for how we might improve this, any ways we might want to change it? It's an opportunity. So the basis is an actual draft ordinance, and that'll be available to you. We're going to hold, at least I'm recommending to the board, that we hold three additional public meetings or forums in the month of April throughout the county so that we can get input from folks. And we will give a schedule, we'll make that very public to everybody. We're going to try and go up to the north area around Lincoln City. We're going to stay from one in the central area here in Newport and then go south and probably do that in Walport and see if we can't get some feedback from folks. That'll be a great opportunity. Those will be evening meetings for folks to also take a look at this particular program and see if they've got any comments about it. The purpose, as we indicated, was basically to put into place a licensing program for short-term rentals that would provide some operating standards for those particular activities. And again, the primary purpose that we're trying to deal with is allow these things to exist, which they do already, but allow them to exist and operate in a manner that respects and protects the livability of neighborhoods in which the rentals are located. The process would be that we would require, these things are all defined in the ordinance, there's a number of definitions in the ordinance, but it would require that all dwelling units rented for a period of up to 30 days, that's short-term dwelling units, get this particular license. In the license, they would have to provide us with a contact person. We would define things such as a dwelling unit, rent, owner, short-term rental, sleeping area, and other terms. Lincoln County will be the administer of this, or administer or enforce the licensing requirements, and we're working this through the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office. We chose the Sheriff's Office because they have a great deal of experience dealing with both licensing programs. They've got several licensing programs they do countywide, but also because a number of the impacts that we're really dealing with here, the livability issues, are issues that come to them directly. They're the ones that get the complaints when somebody is parking illegally in a neighborhood. They're the ones that get the complaints when a rowdy party is too noisy or neighbors are too noisy. They're the ones that get the complaints initially, too, when garbage is strewn all over the neighborhood. So we feel there was a natural fit with the Sheriff's Office doing this particular activity because they have to handle those enforcement ends of the equation anyway. We also, while we're incorporating some existing ordinance provisions like our noise ordinance into this, we also recognize that it's very difficult to deal with those with a short-term population that comes into these units. So there may be a noise complaint, for instance, that's registered there, and the people that are making the noise, but they're only there for a few days. They come and they go. So if we try to enforce our ordinance in there, in that particular circumstance, we may be able to get some responsive reactions there. But if it's a continual problem in the area, these are different people coming in over and over and over. And so we would like to say that what we need to do is make the property owner the responsible party for ensuring that the noise requirements are met, not just the neighborhood. So the operating standards that we're coming up with would include some provisions that would require the owner to designate a contact person. At this point, I have not recommended, although I want to hear from the public and the community about this, we have not recommended that that be a local contact person. Some of the business license requirements say that you actually have to have somebody here within Lincoln County to do that. We do have some short-term vacation rentals that are owned by people who are fairly close in, people in Corvallis and other areas, who may be able to handle the issues that come up themselves. We wanted to at least give them that option of doing that by naming a contact person. But I'd at least like to hear more community input on whether or not the contact person should be a local person. The owner, the contact person, would be responsible for contacting the renter of the dwelling within a reasonable period of time if complaints in accordance with these operating conditions I'm going to describe here are violated. So the relationship is, it attempts to put the onus back on the owner with saying that if there's problems that occur there, people should be able to contact you, let you know that there are problems, and you should be given an opportunity to resolve those particular issues. The kinds of things that Commissioner Hall indicated what we're going to regulate would include a quiet time requirement for VRDs in the county. So they'd have to comply with the county noise ordinance requirements, and we would establish a quiet time between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. the next day. And that would be enforced through both through the county noise ordinance on the specific complaints we get, but also by the, and as I'll explain a little bit further, by the owner if there are repeated violations of the quiet time provisions. Garbage service is the next issue that we want to address. The owner is going to be required of a VAD, is going to be required to provide and maintain adequate garbage service with required service containers. And obtained in Lincoln County, we franchise our garbage services, and that covers the entire county. So there's service available to every single one of these dwellings in the county. And that level of service has to be commensurate with the garbage generated at the dwelling, and there's a provision for dealing with that. There is an alternative. If the property owner wants to submit an alternative plan, we will examine that alternative plan for dealing with garbage. However, if we get garbage complaints, then the first thing we're going to do is require them to start immediately receiving franchise services. Parking is a big issue, and this is probably the issue that I find the most difficult one, and having examined a number of these particular ordinances across the state, one that is very difficult for many jurisdictions to deal with. What we're asking is that the owner provide a plan that shows a parking space, off-street parking space, per sleeping area plus one more per dwelling unit. And these are, again, terms that are within the ordinance. The dwellings that are constructed after the ordinance is adopted are going to have to provide that off-street parking. We realize that there's going to be some issues with those that are currently in place. But we want the people who have existing dwellings in there who cannot provide all those parking spaces off-street to show us where they're going to park their people that's physically and legally available to them. Where are they going to do it? What are they intending to do? Where do people park when they come to their area? So they have to show this off-street and on-street parking plan. They cannot provide parking in areas that's prohibited, and that's one of the issues that we're going to be looking at, because we're having some discussions with, for instance, the fire district in the Glen Eden Beach area about fire lanes. And that's an issue that we have not yet resolved that issue, but I've got some additional information coming our direction in terms of when and how and who can establish those particular fire lanes. But if there's a prohibited area for parking, it would be incumbent upon the owner of the property to ensure that people do not park in those prohibited areas. There will be a requirement that the owner actually notify each and every renter and provide to each and every renter the information on where those available and allowable parking areas are. And if there's repeated violations, if we see that there's issues, repeated violations of the parking, if somebody, they're renting out and people are parking illegally, that could be grounds for termination or revocation of the VRD license. So it gives us another tool to enforce this. A key component on this particular proposal is there's a limit on occupancy. And we're calculating that based on three persons per sleeping area plus an additional two people with a maximum occupancy of 16 persons per dwelling unit. And we're doing that based on some building code requirements to put in that maximum occupancy. Now, these are related to the ordinance itself and the business license, so it'll be part and parcel of the conditions that are granted for any one of these places. That's going to be the maximum occupancy. We've set in place a complaint and enforcement procedure that starts out with an informal resolution process. We really think that we think a lot of the VRD owners really want to be responsible owners, and we're at least hoping that they want to do that. And so that we're asking that because they're going to have to provide their contact information to neighbors around there, that the complainant first communicate to the owner or contact person and request a resolution and see if that cannot be contacted. And there's an obligation. We're putting in the licensee holder will have an obligation to respond to those complaints and make a reasonable effort to remedy the situation. I know that one person had, seeing the draft of this, had questioned why we use the word reasonable. Reasonable is actually a standard that's used quite often in the legal profession, a reasonable person standard. We like it because it gives us the flexibility of looking at these particular issues. It gives us the determination, and ultimately the county will make the determination whether there were or were not reasonable efforts made here. And it'd be incumbent on the owner, if they disagreed, to challenge us. But we'll at least have that ability to make those particular determinations. If that doesn't work, the informal complaint process doesn't work, then we have a formal resolution in which a party can provide a written complaint to Lincoln County as the licensing authority. And they can provide us with information based on their attempts to resolve the issue, and if it's not resolved, what they would like to see done. And we'll attempt to first try to resolve the problem between the parties. We may use community mediation resources if those are available and would likely assist in the resolution of the problem. But if not, then we'll issue a written determination to both of the parties whether or not there is a violation of these licensing standards. And if there has been, then we can undertake enforcement actions that are authorized both in the county code and in this ordinance. There's an appeal process from that particular determination to the board or the board's designee. And this is actually a process that's separate from but complementary to the procedures we set up to either revoke or cancel a license or deny a license if we so desire. If we get to the point where we need to consider revocation or denial of a license or the non-renewal of a license, since this will be required on an annual basis, we have grounds for doing that, and that includes three or more violations the determinations in the formal process outlined above within 1 year. This may be a high standard to meet. I think there's going to be some concerns expressed that three violations in a one-year period is too close. I think it'll work. I think we'd like to try it that way and see if it can't work. And if there are problems with that, if we're seeing some repeated violations, but the process takes more than a year, we'll come back and recommend some amendments to the code. We can make one or more determinations of violations that are initiated by the licensing authority. So we can make our own determinations. We can actually go out there if we're hearing some things and initiate the process ourselves. We also have to make that determination in writing, provide it to the owner, and it's subject to the appeals process I noted before. We would hold a hearing on the revocation or denial, and if we found that the person met the requirements here, we could deny or not renew the particular license. And failure to hold or keep a valid license means that the owner cannot continue to operate a short-term rental dwelling of that particular property. As I indicated, we're working with the sheriff's office and our treasurer's office to put together the administrative forms we need to do. We've got a lot of examples that we're taking a look at. But we'll put those together before we formally adopt the ordinance. And we're looking at a lead time so that once this is in place, there's going to be an opportunity for the VRDs to come in and indicate to us their desire to apply for the license and have ample time to go ahead and provide the necessary information and get the license in place. And I think the last part that I want to talk about is that one of the things that I wanted to look at and recommend to the board was what fee we set for the VRD licensing program. So I did do a look at up and down, especially the coast, but around the state at different approaches and what the fees were charged. And frankly, it's a mishmash. It's all over the map. It ranges from a low of about $65 for a business license in Rockaway, Oregon, to as much as $300 annually in the city of Bend, and that depends on the occupancy level. So it's all over the map. Different programs have different inspection requirements. They have different standards. Some of them are more than just a licensing program. Some of them include some land use components and additional land use applications. So it's really all over the map. What I would like to recommend is that we initially set the fee at $175 for the initial license, and then thereafter have a $90 fee for renewal. But with this caveat, what I'd like to do is, in working with the Sheriff's Department and the Treasurer's Office, is come back to you probably in July of 2017 or maybe even in December of 2017 with our experience in the program. How many of these? We really honestly don't know how many VRDs there are out there that are going to complete this licensing requirement. And once we get a better feel for that and the costs of administering the program, we're going to come back with an additional recommendation. We may recommend that you increase the fees. We may recommend that you actually decrease the fees. But we'd like to get some experience under our belt for what the costs of the program are and then work from there. So at this point, take any questions.
Okay, I do have one question. We'll see if we have questions from the board initially, then we'll open it up. I know a lot of the folks here in the audience are interested in this topic. And Mr. Belmont, I wanted to ask about the garbage service provision and the requirement may be waived upon submission of an acceptable alternative plan. What might constitute an acceptable alternative plan? And just the context for my concern there in not making garbage service mandatory is the number of stories I've heard from folks about going out to empty their garbage one morning and finding their can filled with garbage that they didn't generate, or the assumption that often folks are going to drop their garbage in a state park wayside on the way home if they don't just leave it behind, period.
Yeah. An alternative plan would have to be something in which the person indicates regular, has the capacity to handle the garbage that's generated at the site, and has a regular process for taking that garbage away, and is not having the impacts you just described on neighbors. If everybody's dumping the garbage in their neighbor's garbage can, that's not an acceptable alternative plan.
Okay. Although I'm thinking it might be difficult to determine where the unwanted garbage came from.
Yeah. Frankly, some of these things, you know, same thing with parking kinds of issues there. Determining where the person came from who's parking illegally is going to be somewhat difficult.
Okay. Any other questions from the board at this point, or do we want to hear from citizens?
Right. I'd like to ask clarification. There are no inspection requirements per se with this program.
Well, not per se. What we are doing is we do require some notification procedures from the VRD. They have to post on their property the contact person's name and phone number, so the person does can know who to call if they've got a complaint about something. They have to also provide written notice to adjoining property owners and neighbors there. So the inspection would be more of, I think, what I'll call a checklist to ensure that all these things are complied with. The inspection might be going out to look at the property to say, have you posted the appropriate notices, those kinds of things.
But something that could
but
be done.
Beyond that, no, we don't have other inspection requirements.
Okay. Thank you.
Alrighty, are we ready to open it up to the public at this point? We'd like to ask people to come forward up front, introduce yourself as the meeting is being recorded.
Also state there.
And also to state your name and residence.
Thank you very much, Commissioners. I tried to write some notes, so I'd be very careful of your time today. I think what we're asking for is accountability.
Okay, could you
Please. My name is Bill Tenpass.
Yes, thank you.
It's 6805 Neptune in Glen Eden Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, go ahead,
okay. What we're looking for is accountability, respect, and being good neighbors. And that has not been happening, and that's why this is so important, that this is a starting point. Problems we have seen are cars, buses, trailers, and motorhomes pulling into houses. So the houses are full, and then they expand that by putting, now the sleeping area rule takes care of that to some degree. The concern with the sleeping area, if you have a pull-out couch in a living room, does that count as a sleeping area because it's a sleeping couch? And I don't know that, but that is something I think we need to be careful of, that we don't expand there's a two-bedroom house by us that has two bedrooms and then advertises for two bedrooms, but they had eight cars there one time, and they were all out in the road, and there were 10 people in the house. So, fireworks. I guess the other thing, during the 4th of July, we've called the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Department has jurisdiction over the area, but not on the beach. That's the state police. So the problem with that is we have a house that has an annual mortar display where they send up 200 mortars. They start in the early afternoon, and they go until 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night, and then they start at 5 in the morning the next morning. And it goes on through that entire weekend. They also sent up lit lanterns. Now, last summer we were worried because the lit lanterns, as dry as it was, we were afraid that those would come down in some brush and cause some fires. There's no regulation over that. Now, I can tell you that that's going to happen again this year. And we're going to try to let the state police know ahead of time so that they can control that. But all along the beach, that is a problem. There is more trash than we see all the time. And some of them think they're good neighbors because they're picking up their trash, but then they're throwing their doggy bags into the riprap or into the bushes. So these plastic bags are just everywhere. And that's a problem. The trash is also blowing in the neighborhood. Parking in our neighborhood, there have been so many cars at certain houses that they're advising their renters now to park in front of other people's houses in the neighborhood. We had three cars parked for a full weekend in front of our house. They had, the house was two blocks away, and they would ferry people back and forth to those cars. It made it very difficult because in Glen Eden Beach, they're really single-lane roads, and it's very difficult to get by those cars. Another thing is damage to the roads. Because of the increased traffic, we see increased damage to the roads. Now, those are oil-based roads. They're not asphalt. And so the problem is they break down rather easily. And the way they repair them is just put another asphalt patch over them, and that lasts probably maybe a month, and then it breaks down again. We have a joke that that's really the community swimming pool because they get so big. Also, the speed, which they go through the neighborhoods. They tear through those neighborhoods because they don't have any recollection of where they're going, number one, or how to get there very fast. But the second thing is, even though those are dead-end signs, we have them turning around in our driveway, even though we're at the dead end of the road, and it says dead end, and there's only one house, two houses on that side. They'll come in, realize they've done it, pull into our neighborhood, our driveway, and then turn around and go out. So it's really difficult for that. The proposed ordinance is a great step, and we really appreciate it, because we have had an awful lot of very angry neighbors, and we felt helpless. We felt there was no way to get anything done. The definition of sleeping area I already spoke about. The appeal process, 3 in a year, seems like an awful lot, and if they ask for continuances or they ask for attorneys to bring in or they can't make a certain date, that could extend that well past a year, and that's only 3 in 1 year, and then the year starts over. So we're concerned about that process. And you ask about a contact person. We believe that a contact person should be local. And the reason for that is if somebody is in Portland or even somebody in Washington, we have several people that own houses in Seattle that live in Seattle. To contact somebody in Seattle and expect them to now get a hold of somebody down here so that they can talk to them is very difficult and is of concern. So we would like to have a local contact person. Again, thank you for your time, and I really appreciate the process, and we look forward to working with you on this.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm Artis Skimmel, and I live on the corner of Stevens and Neptune at 340 Stevens Street. So I live across from one of the newest rentals that was bought last fall. It's a 5-bedroom, and it's advertised as sleeping 18. It says it has 5 parking places. There have been up to 7 people or 7 vehicles parked, and they're parking sideways next to these very narrow streets. And I don't think that a fire truck could make the turn off of Stevens onto Neptune with those cars parked in that area. It was interesting when these people were looking at this property, I walked across the street and talked to the realtor, and she said she was encouraging them to buy property here rather than in Lincoln City because the controls were much less. They had much more opportunity and not as strict controls. So these proposed controls, are they as succinct as Lincoln City's, or are they less so?
Lincoln City takes a much different approach than Lincoln County has taken in a lot of different ways here. I think there's something like 60 pages or more of regulations. We've got this ordinance.
And they're doing licensing and land use
regulations and a variety of things, which cities have an ability to do. They're much different than unincorporated areas of county. So
it was interesting to have the realtor use that, and that even be the have that result for them. And I agree that a local person is needed, someone that can respond rapidly, because if it's 2:00 in the morning and there's a lot of noise, how do you get anybody to respond to that if they live in, well, even in Portland? And I recognize that Lincoln County depends on tourism. That is a great, great asset to Lincoln County. But with the increase in population throughout Oregon and the increase in vacationers, I think it's important for us to look at increasing our controls on things these days, because the culture norms have changed in America. And our culture seems to encourage some of these negative behaviors that we've been talking about. And, you know, my question is, I bought this property to live in, and is my property value going to be increased or decreased with all of this activity across the street? I currently am building an attractive driftwood fence so that I don't see the lighted garage and all the activity of coming and going of all the cars during the evening while I'm relaxed in my living room. I hope that will discourage some of the distraction that I get from all of that. And I also have a unique situation where Stevens Street used to go down to the ocean, and it doesn't anymore. So there's an area across the street from me right next to this rental property where the vacationers or the renters park their car. The community has been using that as, you know, our lookout. People gather there. People walk by and look at the ocean there. People come who are disabled and access that area. And when there are two or three of the cars that are parked there indefinite hours from that rental, it does not give access to our community. Last summer, we had an issue because the then owners, before they sold, on each side of that county property, rolled back three big rocks to decrease some of that negative parking that was happening there. And as a result, there was a lot of talk in the neighborhood. Maybe it'd be okay to have some of that parking reconsidered, because I'm not certain what his title is. The top of the road commission came and looked at this, and you know, maybe that needs to be reconsidered about having access to numbers of hours of parking there for private use. That's it. Thank you very much.
Could I just clarify? I'm sorry. I probably should know where Stevens Street is, but I do not.
Stevens Street is a county street, and it is probably, you know where the post office is in Glen Eden Beach? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's probably three blocks north. Okay. And But Neptune, much of Neptune isn't county maintained. It just goes north on Neptune there.
Thank you. I'd like to invite the next person to come up. I'd like to ask Mr. Belmont a question, and maybe to address something that's come up in the previous meetings, the parking issue, especially when we're talking about roads that are not part of the county system, but either public roads or part of a special road district. Our ability to regulate parking, could you address that? And then also, I know, you know, somebody mentioned fire trucks. At least I think you'd had some conversation with the Depot Bay Fire District, and that they had at least some concern or interest in possibly being involved in addressing cases where parking of especially larger vehicles would make it potentially difficult or impossible for them to get their vehicles through.
Yeah. Well, without going into too much detail, because we could spend hours here talking about the difference between a county road, a local access road, a private road, those kinds of things, just understand that the county has jurisdiction, which it could include things in, addressing parking for all county roads and local access roads. So those are public roads. What we don't have jurisdiction over is private roads. So I'm just going to make it simple that way, and we can deal with that later. And then, yes, I am having conversations with Depot Bay, the fire chief and some representatives from Depot Bay, about the designation of fire lanes and when and where and how those can occur.
Okay. All righty. If you'd introduce yourselves, please.
My name is Dr. Fran Furter, and I live on Neptune Avenue in Glen Eden Beach. At the end, fortunately, of Neptune Avenue, that is the farthest away from some of the major difficult places. Part of what we get is not so much the parking in front of our place, but we get the back and forth speeding traffic into that wee hours of the morning, people looking for the big mega house at the end of the street, like on a Friday night at 2 a.m., driving down, backing up, turning around. Just that kind of traffic noise is a difficulty. I don't know what the solution is to that, but I want to add it to our concerns. I agree with what everyone else has said, both Artis and Bill. And the only other thing I want to reemphasize is the safety issue. Speeding. We have children on bicycles. We've seen several near misses with people coming mostly from the mega house at the end of the street, screeching on their brakes to miss a family going down to the beach that are coming around the curve on Neptune and Fern Street. And I don't believe that emergency vehicles, if anybody had a heart attack or a physical emergency or a fire in the mega house at the end of the street or the one across the street from that, or even actually the houses adjacent to it, I don't think emergency vehicles could get down there. We're a one lane of traffic street. I'm concerned that something that whatever it is we do be retroactive to cover the existing places. There aren't any more empty lots on our street. So whatever happens has to cover the existing problems.
And just to qualify or clarify on that point, Mr. Belmont, this requirement, if we do move to adoption of this, would apply to currently operating vacation rentals as well as new ones.
Yes,
correct?
They would all be required to get a business license.
All vacation rentals.
All vacation rentals, yes.
Great.
So they all have to have adequate parking.
Well, again, we make some distinctions between those that are building, new places doing a VRD and those that are existing. And, parking is probably the most difficult issue and I've seen in all of these ordinances and in all the places out there. It's the most difficult one to deal with. So we've got some provisions that would address it. I don't know that we're going to be able to address all the concerns you have.
We just want to encourage you to address the existing dwellings because there probably won't be room for any more new ones.
Okay, thank you.
My name is John Heagle. I also live on Neptune 6765 Neptune Avenue in Glen Eden Beach. I really don't have to repeat what Fran just said about safety. That's my primary concern. We live on the corner of Fern and Neptune, and it's an immediate right turn. And there have been several near misses of children and young people with cars and individuals who almost could have lost a life there. And just to get the vehicles in to take care of that situation would be a major issue. We've lived in that location since 1986. And when we first came to Glen Eden Beach, that part of it had CCNRs that prevented any kind of rentals. Realistically, we recognize that rentals are an inevitable situation. And so we also recognize that this is good for the tourism and for the economy of Lincoln County. So we're realistic about that, but we simply want to advocate for safety and for the measures that you're taking. I really want to thank all of you commissioners for taking the initiative to set up this program and to move forward with it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
If I may, could I ask a clarifying question? I know one of the things that is, I guess, still a little bit in flux is the need for a local contact. What are your thoughts on that?
We would both like a local contact, definitely. We have two doors down from us is a rental, and they are very cooperative for the most part. They have set up guidelines for their renters, and we have contacted them and they tell us to let them know immediately. Now they actually don't live, they live in Walla Walla, Washington or near Spokane more correctly, but they're willing to find somebody locally to help. So local contact would be very important for
us. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to be heard? Okay.
My name is Gary Patterson, and I live in a slightly different neighborhood than what you heard from so far. Glen Eden has more problems, obviously, but we also have some in the area of Lincoln Avenue. And the points I want to make, and I will be brief, because Bill did an excellent job of setting forth all the kinds of things that we're all dealing with. But number one, local contact, absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. There's just no hope of getting anything resolved as quickly as it has to be resolved for the peace of a neighborhood unless there's a local contact person. There are three vacation rentals within 150 feet of my house. I have had the full range of cooperation. One has been excellent, one has been troublesome, the other one has been very troublesome. And unfortunately, I think we have to legislate for the worst possible example. Certainly Glen Eden is a good example of that. So we have to keep that in mind. Parking is a real issue in both of our areas because just as Glen Eden has very narrow streets, Lincoln Avenue narrows to a point at some points where it is at or less than 14 feet wide. That is definitely not enough room for any kind of parking on Lincoln Avenue for any kind of major emergency vehicle to get by. And that's exactly the same kind of problem that Glen Eden is experiencing. I have spoken to some of the other neighbors in our neighborhood, and they have assured me, those who've lived there much longer than I have, that back when our neighborhood was put together, and I'm sure the same is the case with Glen Eden, there was never any contemplation of motel or hotel-like vacation dwellings in the area. It was supposed to be single-family dwellings. And the roads were constructed and the other facilities were constructed to meet that need. We can't back up now. We're filled up with houses on a lot of little lots, so we're stuck with what we've got. And frankly, vacation rentals of more than just a few people, 2 to 4 people, just don't work. So conceptually, I think that's what we need to be looking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to be heard this morning? Come on up, please.
I'll just be brief. My name is Carol Nybert. I live in Glen Eden Beach, a few houses from the McMansion that we're all referring to. I mean, I could go on for a couple of hours about everything I've written down. Just to reiterate what everybody else has discussed, garbage shouldn't be on the street all the time. Cans on the street. They may empty them, but I mean, what's that to look at? Parking, of course, is the major issue. The McMansion is the biggest problem. It's just one big parking lot where they double stack, triple stack. There's no landscaping at all. And everything I read through, whether it's Seaside, Lincoln City, how they handle the landscape should be at least 50% of the yard. And again, with the roads, these are 16 feet wide. There's no off-street parking. There's no shoulder area. You know, these are not sidewalks with curbs and parking. So there is no parking. They, in their advertisement, rent to 35 people on one side, 25 on the other. I mean, what's the density of how many vacation rentals in one little area? And as far as notifying, absolutely local. And in most of the literature, it lists 250 feet to notify a neighbor of problems. There are no neighbors, no residents. A lot of them are just vacation rentals or people who privately own and don't live in the area. I'm the nearest to those two units, and I'm a block away. So I think there should be something else to notify a neighbor. Of course, the parking, the no shoulders, 16 feet, narrow road. They park up and down the road on everybody's private area in front of their property. I've seen, you know, 30 cars parked in just one little area up and down the street. I guess just to make it quick and sweet, those are my major concerns as the parking.
Thank you. Anyone else? Come on up while you're coming. I have a question for Mr. Belmont. So on the parking, does the fire district have authority to designate, like, fire lanes, no parking? Do they have the authority to designate and post that, or who could do that?
That is an issue that we're currently reviewing because it's unclear.
Okay. So if fire lanes were established legally, then would the sheriff's office have the authority to enforce?
Both.
Okay, so we're
both.
Still...
I think if they were legally established, I think it would be prohibited parking. We'd probably be able to enforce those.
Okay, Commissioner Thompson?
But I need to review that whole question about the fire lanes and those designations.
Okay, it would be
I
good
have a question, Wayne, or Roy, from our road department. What is the legal width in these streets out here when they were created? A lot of times the street is this wide, but the legal width is, and then you can turn around and widen it, but a lot of times the property owners don't want to do it. But if they want a wider street, they can do it. Is that street really 16 feet or is it wider?
The right-of-way could be significantly larger than that. Remember, this is a mishmash of some newer developments and subdivisions and some very old subdivisions that had different standards. Mm-hmm. You know, Lincoln County did a lot of development actually in the 1960s in which we subdivided properties in unincorporated areas. A lot of these things have been around and created both the road systems and the width of the roads and the size of the lots are something that date back a long, long ways. So it's a mishmash of things out there, and you'd have to look at a specific area to determine what's the right-of-way width.
Okay, thank you. Alrighty.
Hi, my name is Joy Pendergrass, and my family has owned property on Neptune Drive since 1971, and the neighbors may not realize that we do have an empty lot, and we're not building a mega hotel. This house, three doors down from our family's property, advertises for $1,000+ a night, and you get no taxes from them. Are you going to rectify that?
I can tell you right now, one of the conditions for getting a VRD license is that you're in compliance with Lincoln County's transient room tax licensing provisions, and that'll be a requirement. So that's included.
Good. Thank you very much.
May I ask? I'll ask the same question I've asked the others. Your thoughts on a local contact?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm getting over being sick too, so I can relate.
Yeah,
I'm trying to cough quietly in the back.
Right.
I wanted to come up, didn't plan on speaking, didn't actually even see this on the agenda item until it was posted this week, but my name is Aaron Linfoot, and I work with a vacation rental management company. So a little different approach than what you're hearing. But I wanted to hit upon a couple points and go over some things that we've done because... I'll get into it. So the three main items that you mentioned, I want to just add a fourth to it, trash, parking, and noise. I think the enforcement piece is such a big aspect as well because you have situations where maybe they notice something, but who do they report it to? And then two, once it's reported, what's the next step? You know, if someone addresses it a week later, well, that would make everyone angry, even though they're addressing it. And I think part of this licensing process, too, will help you because I think there are a lot of Airbnb-type listings who aren't fully in the tax situation as you're laying it out. So my company, we staff people 7 days a week. I have a local office. I spend a lot of money to have an on-call manager every night, housekeeping manager, and a maintenance manager. So I have three people every night who are available by phone. And I post signs where CCNRs allow. There are some communities that don't allow that. I also pay, within the last 2 years, I've had a security firm that's DPSSD certified that's doing nightly rounds. And their sole focus right now is noise, parking, and trash. They can issue citations. I ask them to talk to the renters because I'll find the renters. I'm a full-timer here. My family moved here. We moved because of the industry. I plan on being here a while. I've got 50-plus staff that are all contributing to the local economy, not to mention the thousands upon thousands of renters that come through every year that are also contributing. Tourism is a big item for the coast. People come here. What sets Newport, Lincoln City, Yahats, Seaside, Tulum, what sets us apart? Well, we have the coast, but what else provides the draw to the town? And being a coastal town, there's a lot of things that we have to offer. And we need, you know, to get that out. There was a tourism meeting last night with some things as well, some good ideas with Travel Oregon, different things. But I think at the end of the day, we want to create a win-win. Me being a full-timer, I've got a property, and I live in Lincoln City, but I've got a property on that's a foreclosure next to me. I live in a community that's primarily primary residents. I've got the foreclosure one's creepy because I see these random vans pull up at random times. I would love to have that in any situation, but in foreclosure right now. And then next to me, I've got someone that visits twice a year. So, you know, I'm looking after the property. I frequently drive by my vacation rentals and the ones that we have. And with the security and other people driving by, it's important that they're taken care of. So all of our staff, if they drive by, see a trash can knocked over, you guys all know these windstorms, they're not very forgiving. So I've got staff coming on just to address trash situations and windstorms. But I think being proactive with it and creating a win-win is what we want. And I applaud you all for approaching this. It's not an easy task. Being a part of the Lincoln City one, they say that, you know, once you start regulating someone's pocketbook, you, won't use the right words, but it's a big issue. And it gets people angry very fast. So I would love to, you know, people who are even sitting here now, if they could talk to me afterwards, I would love to see what we can do as well. I'm not saying we're the perfect example, but we've been very proactive because we want to create a win-win. I want to respect the people who have chosen to retire here. I want to respect the people who have chosen to work here. And I want to respect the people who have chosen to vacation here.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is Kathleen Roth. I live in Glen Eden Beach. Other than the Pendergrasses, I think I've been in the neighborhood longer than anyone that's here. 25 years, it's tranquil, it's wonderful until some of these things began happening. And my question is, we have a 16-person rule. Whoopee, I'm glad to hear it. Who's going to count noses, and how do we know if there's 32 in there or 16? And I know that's not an easy question to answer.
Actually, I can't answer that.
Okay.
One of the things that's a vital part of this particular program is that we're going to have, and it's actually going to be housed in the sheriff's department, the licensing enforcement aspect is. And in fact, the person who's going to be doing that is in the room today listening to you and taking comments. But we actually will have, and because we're using the sheriff's office, we have a lot of experience doing enforcement. If there are violations, if someone is putting those, you know, too many people inside the place, we will follow up on it. We have not had the resources to be able to do that in the past. But with these provisions in place and with the staffing to do that, we will enforce. And we will follow up. And if there's violations, then we'll find those. So we actually are going to have something we haven't had in the past, and that's an enforcement capability.
Okay, that sounds good. The other thing is I spoke with the fire chief, and we go into restaurants or into the theater or whatever. It says maximum capacity X amount, you know, 30, 40, 400, whatever. Is there not a maximum capacity for a residence like that?
Interestingly enough, there probably is not. But there is an occupancy. For us, we have an occupancy requirement. So that's what we're establishing that with this particular ordinance.
So if I might to clarify, this ordinance, the language within it, will establish an occupancy.
There's some limits, yes.
Limits on occupancy. For the licensed BRDs.
Yes.
And also, how will the taxation take place if they're having a rental for four people? Is it the same as if they have a full house? How do you determine?
That's covered under our transient room tax provisions, and they will have to comply with those. In the same way that if a hotel has, if it's 80% occupancy or 75%, they have reporting requirements, they have to keep records, and they have to supply those to us. So we have a full system for doing that. And we actually do have a number of single-family dwellings, VRDs, that currently do pay the tax. We just anticipate there'll be more once this is done.
But again, whether there's four people or 14, it's the same.
It's the rate.
It's based on revenue,
not on occupancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we don't know how all the revenue comes in, whether it's by check or cash or money order or what, but we have reason to think that there's not been a factual accounting of things, and we don't know how to check on it. We don't know what to do about it. We're sort of standing by, waiting and waiting and waiting. The fireworks are going off, and cars are coming and going. we had school buses come in one day with two school buses. I was like, where are they going? This is a dead-end street. Well, they were going down to pick up the kids. So then we have people parking on Main Street in Glen Eden in commercial spots. So I think you've heard about that, and you've heard from them. And we've kept everybody busy. We need more police coverage, more. We don't see the sheriff or deputies nearly like we'd like to. We have had burglaries. We've had incidents. So we just, I hesitate to call every time something goes on. Oh, no, they'll think it's her again. But then people say, no, you've got to call. So then I tell people, other people, like, well, you have got to call. But it seems redundant sometimes, and you think, am I being too petty? But it's changing our livelihood, not to mention our property values of where we live and who wants to move in next. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else who would like to be heard this morning?
I wasn't going to speak today, but I heard something that was a bit of a surprise, that you were unaware of property, the number of people that can stay
okay,
in vacation rental.
Yourself.
So I'm Tony Schumacher. I live on the corner of Pacific and Lincoln. Lincoln is this little tiny narrow street, so I've heard this discussion about fire lanes too, so that'll come next. But you seem unaware that there are limitations on how many people can stay, and it's in the building codes division. It is 16, and the limit is 5 sleeping spaces per. And we learned that because we had a house around the corner that rented to 29 on a regular basis on Lincoln Avenue, which is a fire lane. It's been designated so. I understand you're confused about some part of that fire lane procedure and what you can.
No, it's just not clear under law in terms of the process.
What is the ordinance? Because I'd like to look that up.
That's in state law.
State, okay. Do you know what that is?
It's all over the place. It's okay. Frankly, it's found in different things. There's jurisdictions for the county in Chapter 368 for roads.
Okay.
And there's jurisdiction for, I'm not sure the exact chapter that is that deals with fire stuff. But this is an issue that actually I've been talking to the fire district with, and it's very clear. It's not unusual to have fire codes that are exist. But in terms of enforcement versus planning codes, for instance, or building codes, there's constantly these meshing and mashing of these particular things as to who has jurisdiction over what, when, and where. Mm-hmm. Not uncommon. This is just another one of those issues that we need to resolve and determine which way to go with that.
Well, on our particular street, we waited a year, and we had the okay from the fire marshal a ways back. That year, let me tell you what that year can be like, living on the corner with people who don't see a fire lane sign, so they park there, they shoot themselves up there, they bring in their fireworks, they throw their trash down, they park there. You try to get a fire truck or an ambulance down there, and you're not going to make it. And we've lived 11 years of calling the management company. Now they don't respond at all. Except I will say, over the last year and a lot of pushing and a big complaint, we managed to get that house down to living within that 16 max instead of 29. That's hurtful to them. I'm so sorry. But you know what? It's about time they realize they're not being good neighbors, and they haven't been good neighbors for many, many years. But when I see something like this that we can put a stop to the parking on that street. Along with that, let me tell you, if you're the neighbor that calls and says, their car's parked all around us, now that people can't even get to their homes, now what do we do? I've lost track of my thought. I got so angry there listening. I'll be brief. Okay. To expect people to self-report that they are a vacation rental, knowing they're going to pay tax, buy a license, and then be monitored, is not the way. We've got to find a solution.
It's not self-reporting. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to come in
obviously,
and do this.
Obviously, you don't know about a lot of vacation rentals in this community.
And we now, with this program, will have the tools and the enforcement to go in and find the ones who are not reporting. And they will have to, or they will not be able to operate. This is the whole idea behind this program is we've now got the resources and the tools to locate these particular people who aren't participating and make them participate. So,
Okay. And the answer to your question is we have to have local. I'm not calling Seattle to talk to them about my neighbor.
Thank you. Anyone else? Come on up, please.
I think you can hear me here. I just have a quick question.
But the meeting's recorded. The microphone won't capture you from there.
This is my second turn. Does somebody else want to go first? Okay.
I did not know about the landscape issue until Carol brought it up, and I can't imagine what it's like to be across the street from having your landscape be four big blue garbage cans in a row 24/7. Can we add something on the landscape issue to what we're proposing? Require that there be a hedge or something?
No. That's okay. Actually good to do that. But, the garbage issue, and I'm really glad to hear the comments on the garbage, because one of the things that I was exploring and I would like to do in the course of, while we're taking more public input over the next month, is I know that at least one of the haulers, and the one that's you know, most of the people here are from Lincoln Beach and Glen Eden Beach, I've seen at least that have come forward here, that hauler has what they call a valet service. In which they can actually come and their truck will stop and they will go back behind, a gate or behind an area that's set back, pick up the garbage, offload it, and then put the garbage can back, which doesn't leave the garbage can sitting out
there for days.
And I'd like to at least explore that further with the hauler out there and the other franchised haulers for other areas and see if that's also an option you may want to consider.
Okay.
If that's an issue. Because I had not heard that part. I mean, the issue I was hearing was more of the garbage being strewn about. But
it's both.
It's both. The cans just sitting out there. Constantly.
They're sitting out there right at the edge of the street, and there are a lot of them, and they're the biggest ones you can get. And it made me sad to hear. I was out walking yesterday, and I saw Artis's lovely driftwood fence, and I thought to myself, why is she blocking a little bit of her view of the ocean? Now I know she doesn't want to look at garbage cans, and that makes me sad.
Okay, come.
My name is Richard Pendergrass, and we have the house on Neptune. My biggest complaint is among all the others, are the non-collection of taxes. I think everybody in this room knows that people who rent their house for $250 a night and pocket the money, not paying anything to the state or the county. And you can pay for a lot of enforcement by the county if you collect the taxes. And in my opinion, it's not being done at all now. I was just fortunate enough to be in Hawaii last week, and their whole state, the legislature, is working on a program to require Airbnb and other similar companies to collect taxes and pay them to the state. Airbnb has said in the papers that they will do that. I don't know about the other companies, but it's a major problem. And I think all the costs involved with initiating this program can be taken care of if we just collect the taxes.
Well, I hope so. I will take issue, though, with the statement that it's not being done at all, that the tax office...
No, I don't mean it's not being
done. Oh, okay. Well, they have been... I know their staff has been combing the Internet, newspapers,
good,
other sources... I mean, and when, like, for instance, a few years back when Lincoln City annexed Rhodes End annexed into Lincoln City, they did find some properties that we were not capturing tax from, but they did say the vast majority, so, you know, somewhere 80-90% were already paying transient room tax. But again, having dedicated staff, hopefully, is going to increase the compliance.
Yes. Well, I'd like to thank you all for your efforts and urge you to get this done quickly, because the longer it goes, as evidenced by the real estate lady that was selling the property with the intention of avoiding some things, the quicker the better. Thank you.
Thank you. Saw someone in the back. Could you come forward, please?
My name is Sandy Surrett. My husband and I live at 6885 Neptune Avenue in Glen Eden Beach. The property that our good neighbor Artis was discussing. We're the new kids on the block, and we did buy this as an investment property. And counter to what you might believe, we welcome this new ordinance. We want to be compliant. We have a 10-page contract that we have our people sign. It has strict about parking, garbage, fireworks, it's 10 pages. And we want to be compliant. And we have people sign this, including the name and age of every person who's going to be sleeping there. So we're doing our best right now, but we would welcome some support from the county to make it either stricter or give us guidelines what you want us to do to be compliant and be good neighbors. I mostly or often rent a hotel room in Lincoln City when our people are visiting, and I drive by 2 and 3 times a day, but I can't police my own property forever. And maybe I heard one speaker talk about a security, maybe we should hire a private security group to come on our behalf. Garbage is a huge problem for us, and it's only going to get worse as the summer approaches. We now rent 3 giant cans, and I am trying to create a structure that matches my good neighbor artist's structure to hide them. But because I cannot rely on the renters to roll them in and out every Friday morning. Human nature is such, I know that they won't do that. And then we'll have garbage spilling out all over the place. So as a person who owns a rental property, and I hope I'm not in the minority, we want to comply. We want to be good neighbors. Because our intention in 10 years is to live there. Shut it down as a rental and enjoy the community and live there. And so between now and then, we welcome this ordinance. And we would even, I'd go so far, if I were queen of the world, I would have you require all owners to have a very strict contract, similar to what we have, and maybe even more stringent. We can't control human nature. We can only try our best. But we do want to be compliant, and we do want to be good neighbors. And I know a couple other of the rental owners I've spoken to, they seem like good, solid people who also want to be compliant. So from the side of the people who own a vacation rental, those are my thoughts. We do want to be a good neighbors of the community.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Carol Nybert, Glen Eden. Mm-hmm. I just want to add to, for example, the garbage. There is a concierge service. I use it myself. I mean, it's really, really cheap, even though I'm there all the time. Maybe one week I might be up in Portland or something. I would highly encourage you to really incorporate Seaside Vacation Rental, Lincoln City Vacation Rental. They've been doing it for a long time, and if you get a lot of these things in there to begin with, you eliminate having to go back and redo things. And it works for them, and so I would highly encourage that. Thank you.
Thanks. Last call. All righty. Mr. Belmont, when you and I spoke yesterday, we talked about the 3 meetings we would have this month, and then would you be proposing bringing this back as a discussion information item
first
beginning
of May?
Okay.
Yes.
And then see what the feedback is. We've had a lot of good feedback today. We'll have opportunity for more feedback at those meetings, and then we can kind of assess it all and see where we want to go from there. Is that agreeable, Commissioner Thompson?
Well, I have a couple of comments.
Yeah, sure. Comments, questions at this point, certainly as well.
I appreciate your problem, but I actually trade your situation to mine. I live in the city of Newport. I have 100 surfers trying to get on 4 parking spots. Try that one. You want to see garbage? I'll show you garbage. I make the choice to live there because I want to live next to the ocean. I get up in the morning, I walk down the street, clean up the garbage. My neighbors do it. We make the choice. That's where we want to live. The parking is on a first-come, first-served basis in a public street. And what I had to do was build parking off-street for myself, and I protect it. But the public street is owned by the public, and those parking spaces are public. So it's one of those things that I have problems with people trying to say that I own the public street. Now, if the street is wider, you can widen it. We went to that. If it isn't wide enough, I sympathize your problems. We have to try to figure out how to make that work for you. this ordinance is the start step in the right direction, I think. It's an attempt to try to correct the problem, and I think it's Bill's done a great job. I won't take credit for all the hours that you put in on this issue. And I'm going to support it when it gets time, but I'm not going to support anything that takes away from the public's right to access the areas that are next to the ocean. That's one of the choices we make when we live next to the ocean. So that's where I'm at.
Commissioner Hunt.
I think, obviously, this is a problem. I think this is a first step in addressing the problem. I think one of the problems we as a county have had in the past is the fact that we don't have a tool to enforce some of these issues. So with this licensing program, it will give us some revenues to enforce the violations. It'll give us some funds to raise, some funds to hire additional staff to do a better job of enforcement, and it will give us the tools to do a better job, and I'll emphasize again, a better job. The county is very much aware of transient room tax and trying to identify those that are not in compliance, but we'll do a better job of collecting the transient room tax. So I think it's a good first step, and I look forward to more input, and certainly the present form of the ordinance can be modified. I expect probably will be tweaked as we go through the process. I also would say I think we're on a timetable where we can have this ordinance in place, mid-summer or early summer?
Yeah.
Assuming there's only minor modifications and we did move to adoption in May, that
and normally what we would do is put 60 or 90 days to the effective date.
Okay.
And that gives time to get a setup. We'll get the BRDs coming in, starting the license, and do all the things we need to do.
Yeah. I think the important message to get out is, and I think this is something you were alluding to, and you were as well, Commissioner, both of my colleagues, that this gives us better tools to deal with these problems and excessive behavior, but we're never going to stop it entirely. I mean, every law enforcement person I speak with, whether they be state, county, or city, the 4th of July is, I know, just one of those times when people don't, you know, unfortunately, people by the hundreds and thousands do not obey the law, do not obey the rules, do not respect their neighbors, and law enforcement does the best they can on those nights. But it's just one of those nights that really overwhelm the available resources, unfortunately.
Bill, when the gentleman started talking about the fireworks problem,
yeah,
I would go, and I wonder which house he owns in my neighborhood.
Certainly. So I appreciate everybody. You know, a lot of you, we've seen a lot of each other over these last couple of years. I appreciate your patience. You're hanging with us on this. I think, you know, I'm very heartened by the amount of positive feedback, including hearing from someone in the management business and the owner of the VRD saying that they see this as a reasonable and positive step. So we'll see what kind of feedback we get at the public meetings this month and bring this back in May, hopefully ready to move forward soon after that. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you.